Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you once again on this Wednesday, February 3rd. I hope that you are had a great start to the week and that this Wednesday is treating you well. Obviously, it is the middle of the week, the first week in February. That's hard to say. Very happy to be with you. Even after a less than stellar performance from the Grizzlies, an unfortunate end to a seven-game win streak, to what has been one of the best stretches of watching Grizzlies basketball, I would say, over the past 5 years with how well they've been playing. But all good things come to an end, and it's certainly understandable as to why it did come to the end the way that it did against Indiana. And we'll get into that in just a minute here in the first segment. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC. The show wherever you have podcasts available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. You can follow, give me at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. Let us know what you think about the show. Listen, subscribe, review, talk to us. We want to always make sure that we're providing content that certainly is relevant to our listeners' preferences. Well, obviously last night, the play of the Grizzlies was a bit relevant to the result of the game, and that was a 134-116 loss to the Indiana Pacers. We'll talk briefly about, all the things to take away from it. To be honest with you, there's just not much. It's simple why the Grizzlies had the performance that they did. We'll discuss that in the first segment. In the second segment, where does Ja Morant rank, in my opinion, in terms of the young point guards, the next generation of point guards that are there in the NBA? It's a fun question that I've asked in many different, arenas over the past few weeks, and I will be glad to say I think you're going to like the answer that most people have. We'll discuss that in the second segment. And in the third segment, I'm going to talk about how the new information on Justice and Jaren really put increased value on the Grizzlies doing all that they can to maintain a status quo for this season when it comes to their roster. But let's jump right into it. 134-116 loss to the Pacers. I mean, just absolutely, the Pacers dominated this game. Malcolm Brogdon, Miles Turner, and Domantas Sabonis, I believe, combined for 79 points tonight. The Pacers shot, better than 55% from the field, better than 55% from the three. The overall activity, effort, and effectiveness of the Grizzlies' defense just absolutely was not there. Ja Morant said it himself. He just felt that they didn't show up tonight. And while you never want to hear a team say that, you also are kind of relieved to realize, hey, they recognize that. It just happens. Sometimes it's what's called these schedule losses. It's where the Grizzlies, because of the schedule that they've had, having 12 days off, then jumping right back into a big, divisional back-to-back with the Spurs, and overall three games in four nights. It takes a lot out of you when that's been your schedule over the past 2 weeks. And so tonight just was one of those nights where the Grizzlies just didn't have it, and they, went into Indiana and they took the loss. Now, the big thing is that, as many of the players said, the team was upbeat. They were still very positive. As Tyus Jones said, they're happy with where they are, and that certainly is a great takeaway from all this, that this team certainly is in the right mindset, knowing that tonight just wasn't their night, getting focused on two critical divisional games coming up later this week, which we'll have plenty of coverage on, as the week goes along. But obviously, the thing about the Grizzlies tonight is that their defense just was not there to the level that it usually is. The Grizzlies, like I say, allowed 134 points on the night. They made no adjustments. A big thing that was missing was, size. With Jaren Jackson Jr., Justice Winslow, and Jonas Valanciunas, at the very least, size would have helped. Jaren probably makes the biggest difference, but the Pacers just absolutely utilized their two bigs. Domantas Sabonis was an absolute beast in the middle. That's why I love him so much as a player. Miles Turner made his impact all over the court. And, of course, Malcolm Brogdon was his efficient self as well. And the Grizzlies just had no answer. The crazy thing is that even despite the Grizzlies losing 116-134, the Grizzlies still produced 27 assists on the night. That's how crazy of a that's how crazy it is at their production level right now. Even when they lose, they still are averaging enough assists tonight to easily be a top 10 team in the league. But as we know, we're top three, but still 27 assists tonight. They also were still able to force 18 turnovers. But like we said, when the Pacers were shooting like they were from the field as well as like they were from three, certainly was Just something to beat. The Grizzlies just didn't really have a chance tonight, and that's fine. As long as it doesn't happen, too frequently, you're just going to have to accept nights such that. But this doesn't mean that there weren't some positive takeaways. I asked both Dylan Brooks and Tyus Jones about this after the game. I basically said, after the 12-day hiatus that you had, obviously getting back to the swing of things, playing three games and four nights on the road, that is a tough task. But is there a bit of a positive from it? Especially in the case of Dylan Brooks, where before the hiatus, he was, trying to find his shot again. And with the reps that he's had over the past few days, it certainly seemed like he did tonight, in which he was 10 of 18 from the floor, 25 points, one of the better games that he has had. And Tyus Jones, obviously, as well, was absolutely outstanding in the San Antonio series. And they both said, there is a bit of a positive, though you don't want to get tired out. It is nice to get back into the gym and get the reps going. So that certainly is a positive. As I stated, earlier this week and into last week, one big development for this Grizzlies team would certainly be Dylan Brooks and Tyus Jones as they get back into their normal ideal roles, really picking up their production, especially their shooting. And tonight was certainly an encouraging sign from Dylan Brooks, while the previous two games against the Spurs, Tyus Jones obviously showed encouraging signs as well. So hopefully that duo is about to find their groove, which just adds even more depth, obviously, to the Grizzlies team. Another big development, though, was that despite, Dylan's great night, De'Anthony Melton and Desmond Bain both, again, emerged as being very, very productive players. So combined between them, 28 overall points between Bain and Melton, and they shot a combined 4 for 11 from 3. Desmond Bane actually took 6 three-point shots tonight and made 3 of them. If there's one player on your team you want shooting 6 or more threes a night, it's Desmond Bane, because he can give you performances like 16 points off the bench. And Melton once again showed, some better offensive touch to go along with his defense. As I stated, I think of the Grizzlies' two guards, Bane and Melton, in the roles that they're likely going to be once this team hopefully becomes a sustainable winner and potential contender, they're the ones who are probably going to add the most value in their likely rotation / reserve roles. And so their continued production certainly also is a boost. So the overall play of the two-guard position tonight certainly has to be encouraging. And against two teams like Houston and New Orleans, where you really need to have the outside shot to complement the Grizzlies' strengths, that is definitely an encouraging sign. So hopefully it'll certainly continue. But obviously we know at the end of the day, the most important thing to the Grizzlies' success is Ja Morant. Tonight, with Morant, only 10 points, 5 assists, 4 turnovers, and 29 minutes of play. Only 2 for 10 from the field. Just was not there for him tonight. But as he goes, the Grizzlies goes. As Taylor Jenkins said, he is the engine. He's the one that really determines where we go. Well, with that being said, with Ja being the engine of one of the biggest surprises in the NBA over the past few years, where does that rank him in his generation of point guards in terms of the NBA? I'll discuss that and get in detail as to why I rank the players as I do coming up. The holidays are finally behind us, which means it's time to catch up on some much-needed sleep. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than NBA media is sleeping on DeAndre Hunter. CBDPM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience, and are available in lavender and eucalyptus scents, as well as a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. And to make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you see the promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Get more of the sports you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Coming up next week, will be the start of the NBA G League, the bubble down in Orlando. And of course, that means the Memphis Hustle will be starting their season. Today actually is the media sessions for the Memphis Hustle. And we will be glad to welcome back to the show Brandon Abraham, Mr. Hustle himself, one of, if not the best sources of Hustle coverage in the Memphis area. He will be glad to join us talking about a very exciting season, one that certainly, you know, is, you know, the added excitement is certainly there with the G League Ignite, the team of potential NBA prospects. Several big names that could be in the 2021 draft will be on that team. Brandon will join us, and we'll have you all covered for the start of the 2020-2021 Memphis Hustle season. When it comes to the NBA, the thing about it is that you have generations of stars. Like, when you look at this generation of superstars in the NBA currently, you've got LeBron James, you've got Chris Paul, and others that really define a generation. But one of the things that's been talked about, you know, in the NBA in the recent past is just how lucky we all are to have been a part of this generation, the golden age of point guards. You know, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Mike Conley, and many others. You know, it's just been an absolutely wonderful age of productive point guards. And the thing about it is this, is that when it comes to the point guard position, there has been so much depth and so much quality play over the past decade plus, it's hard to really see how the next generation of point guards could follow up and be just as exciting. Now, I will say this, I can't necessarily say that the next generation of point guards that the NBA has seen come in the league over the past 3 years, I cannot say that you're going to get the same quality. I don't know if you're going to get the same Hall of Fame level careers like you have from the point guards that have entered the league over the past 15 years. But I will say that it's been a very exciting development, even in a league where the term point guard itself now is as broad of a term as ever. I mean, you could sit there and call Luka Doncic or LeBron James a point guard because they do a lot of the same duties. But in terms of the actual traditional point guards themselves, it is a very exciting time. And while this generation that's coming into the league over the past 3 or 4 years may not live up to the current generation that is now getting into its early 30s, that does not take anything away from how excited and how talented this young group of point guards is. And of course, after having one point guard in Mike Conley, who arguably was perhaps the most underrated point guard of the golden age of point guards over the past 15 years, the Grizzlies now have someone who arguably is at the forefront of this new generation of point guards in Ja Morant. Across various platforms and to various groups of people recently, I've asked the question, who would you rather have at point guard of six names that have entered the league over the past 4 years? Those six names are LaMelo Ball, Ja Morant, Trae Young, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Colin Sexton, and De'Aaron Fox. Now, that's a grouping of six point guards who, in all honesty, if you were to lay out 15 different perspectives of how you would rank those point guards from scoring to playmaking to defense, whatever it may be, I would be willing to bet you would get a different ranking for all six of those point guards. You would get a different ranking in each category or from each perspective that you were to present. But the one thing that I'm happy to say is that when it comes to that grouping of six, and when I ask the question, who would you have ranked these point guards in terms of who you would want to be leading your team for the future, there was one name that was pretty consensus when it came to that question. And it was Ja Morant. And the reason why that is because Ja Morant offers a few things, offers a few levels of consistency that are question marks when it comes to others. I feel that he arguably is the best playmaker out of that group. He certainly has shown the ability to be right there when it comes to the scoring. And he also has shown, the biggest thing to me though that sets him apart, is that he also has shown the ability to take over games at times that are needed to get his team to win. And it shows because of how good he does in the fourth quarter, and also how much success the Grizzlies have had ever since he came into the league. It's not just that the Grizzlies Grizzlies have been on, you know, the edge of the playoffs both last year, and they now appear this year to be in the conversation again. It's the fact that he has established an identity for this team that allows for them to consistently be competitive and successful. And that's the fact that they have turned into one of the best passing teams in the NBA ever since Ja Morant came into the fold. So in terms of these six point guards going forward, you can call it bias, but I do think there's a good basis there as well. I would pick Ja Morant. When it comes to Trae Young, he's second on my list. And the big reason why is because the playmaking is certainly there with him, though I think that his playmaking is a bit more quantity than it is quality. I think Ja adds a bit more value. He elevates his team a bit more consistently when it comes to their overall play, when it comes to his teammates' overall play with him. But with Trae Young, the one thing that's undeniable is that of this group of six, no one is close to Trae when it comes to the depth of his scoring. Whether it be shooting the three, shooting in general, getting to the rim, getting to the foul line, whatever it may be, Trae Young arguably is one of the top five most consistent sources of 25 or more points in the game today. And combined with his playmaking, I think that makes him second on this list. Now, I think that his defense does take away from it. I think that it's fair to say with confidence that Trae is probably the worst defender on this list. But in terms of in terms of going forward with a point guard that could play a pivotal role on a championship contender, I think that Trae Young is second on this list. Third, I would put Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think that Shai is probably the one person on this list who may not have just a true elite talent. But what he is very good across the board. And I do think in terms of his size and his switchability going forward on defense, the fact that he could probably guard 1 through 4, you know, at least 1 through 3 on defense, either legitimately or to very good, I feel that that certainly helps him out. And he certainly is no slouch on offense. He is probably going to be one of the better bets to get 25-5 over the next decade as anybody currently in the league. And I do think that you've already seen that he could play the role of a second or third guy. And I think that a lot of these players, due to playing at the point guard position, probably are, you know, at their ceilings, the second best player on a championship contender. Shai already has shown that he can be that last year at times when he was the second best option behind Chris Paul on a surprising contender in OKC. So I would put Shai third, not because he does anything, one thing truly elite, but just because across the board, he is very, very good and to me probably has the best chance of adding the most defensive value over the next decade compared to the rest of these players. Four on the list, I'm going to put LaMelo Ball. Now, I will say this, I feel that LaMelo Ball obviously right now is sixth on the list when it comes to the offensive value that he adds individually. However, he arguably could be right up there with Ja Morant. I have a hard time arguing that he's a better playmaker than Ja or has as much potential as a playmaker than Ja, but I will say he could be up on that level. I think that besides Ja, LaMelo can offer the best opportunity. He offers the best chance to significantly elevate the play of the rest of his teammates when he's on the court. He has the ability to really be a ceiling raiser for his team, especially in Charlotte. And I think that it's exciting to see how much success he has had so far into his career. So he would be fourth on my list. I think that he can become a manageable defender. And while he may never be just a truly elite scorer, I do think that he makes up for that with how well he sets up his teammates. So he's fourth on the list. For me, third would be Colin Sexton. And the reason why I take him over De'Aaron Fox, I just think that he's going to be a more consistent scorer. I think that Colin Sexton easily could average 22 or more points per game over the next 5 to 7 years. I think that he's a better shooter. I think he's a more creative scorer. And I think that he's more consistent. Now, I do think that one of the reasons why Colin Sexton is fifth on this list, there's not a lot of playmaking ability that comes from him. There's some inconsistency on defense, and despite, you know, creating turnovers, there are times when he could be a liability a bit on defense. But I do think that besides Trae Young, Colin Sexton arguably has the most depth to his scoring game, and I think consistently will get the point levels that you would love to have from your point guard position. So I would put him fifth on this list. Sixth on the list, I would put De'Aaron Fox. And I don't necessarily mean that as an insult. It's just that when it comes to De'Aaron Fox, I don't think that he's the level of playmaker that, you know, many of the others are on the team or on this list. I don't think that he's the level of shooter. I think you you can, you know, besides LaMelo, you can arguably say that De'Aaron Fox is the fifth best shooter on this list. And I also don't know if he has as much, I think he has more defensive upside than a few players, but I don't know if it's consistent enough to make him elite in terms of defending the point guard position. So I would put De'Aaron Fox sixth on this list. So when it comes to those six point guards, Ja, Trey, SGA, LaMelo, Colin Sexton, and De'Aaron Fox, I would rank them in that order in terms of who I would like to have going forward in terms of starting a franchise in the NBA right now. And the rankings of 1 through 6 in that group are by no means meant to be any type of negative slight towards these players. It's just a lot of fun being able to realize how much actual talent is still at the point guard position. Even with this golden age of point guards now, you know, still, you know, in the NBA, but certainly some of them are getting into the downside of their careers. It's going to be really nice to see this next wave of point guard talent coming to the league, and especially from a Memphis Grizzlies fans perspective, where Ja is legitimately and almost consistently across the league, he's viewed as being the best young point guard talent in the league, and obviously that is shown with how well the Grizzlies have played with him at the helm. But the one other thing about it is that one thing that is known about this Grizzlies team is that their best player is Ja Morant, and they will go where he goes. But despite their success so far this year, not a lot actually is known about the true talent level of this Grizzlies team. And for that reason, I think that the news that has developed this week with Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. may make the most important thing for Memphis going forward is to figure out this their status quo for this season. Coming up, I'll talk about how they will be able to figure that out, plus how that could impact potential moves they make at the trade deadline and beyond. Super Bowl week is finally here, the lead up to the most exciting sports day of the year here in America, and it's also one of the most fun and most anticipated days for fun with all the excitement, festivities, and just an ultimate great time for the best football game of the year. You know, it's both good and bad, you know, because it's the one day of the year we all wait to enjoy time with friends and family, you know, in a safe manner, especially, you know, in these times. But watching commercials, watching the game, whatever reason you like to watch it, it's a lot of fun. The bittersweet part of it, though, is that it marks the end of football for a while. But the great thing is that there are ways for you to add to the fun while also being able to profit a bit if you like to wager. And there's one place that we have for you that we know got you covered, and one place that we trust, that's betonline.ag. No matter if it's props, the score, the line, whatever it may be that you like to bet on, betonline.ag has you covered. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Even when the Super Bowl has come and gone, there's plenty of other action to take a part of. Basketball, hockey, upcoming baseball games, whatever sport, whatever athletes you like to watch, BetOnline.ag has you covered. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. March Madness is a few months away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the Year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts. You know, to talking about Chad Ford and his NBA Big Board, one of the things that, you know, I frequently had mentioned before the start of the season was that, you know, in a vacuum, I felt that the best thing for the Grizzlies to do this season was to potentially miss the playoffs and then from there get a pick into the lottery, which would give them a chance to get the best asset, to get the best young talent they could get in a draft whose strength matched up with the Grizzlies' biggest roster need, which is a good, young, significant wing talent. Now, in theory, that still remains. You know, I think that there's a lot of sense to be said with that thought process. But the thing about it is it also aligns with what the team was talking about when it came to the fact that it's still focused on the future, as it should be. The success from last season allowed for the Grizzlies to get off to a better-than-expected start to their rebuild. they made the most of it by re-upping on the players that they invested, you know, that they had brought in, and they invested in some of them in the offseason. They had another tremendous draft back in November, getting Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, you know, Killian Tilly we haven't even seen yet. And so the Grizzlies, over the 18 months that had led up to the start of the 2021 season, they had done a lot of, you know, if you're into finance at all, there's two different strategies when it comes to working the financial markets. There's active and there's passive. And when it comes to the Grizzlies, they had undertaken an active strategy. Then they had done a bunch of trading. They had done a bunch of transactions. They basically had taken what they had had when our front office started back in the summer of 2019 and done a lot of different action to mold it into a roster that they felt strongly about and wanted to give time to grow together and see where they can succeed. So the Grizzlies went from being active in terms of shaping their roster to being passive. And it doesn't mean that they wanted to stop making moves to help the team improve, but when you go into a passive management style in terms of a stock market, it's the fact that you're wanting to see the moves that you make. You want to see how they perform. And that's exactly what the Grizzlies are doing now. At the start of the season, Zach Kleiman talked about it. This year was more for data accumulation. They had done so much to put together a roster that they were satisfied with, and one that obviously had proved to be successful than many had thought. They knew that the best opportunity this year was for the Grizzlies to really play together, have this roster gel together, see what they can do together, see how players fit the young core of Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Brandon Clark, and from there, make decisions based off that. Well, obviously, this season has certainly gotten off to a better start than expected. Now, last year, the same thing happened, but the Grizzlies still made a move that was clearly focused on the future rather than the present. Trading solid contributors, you know, however you want to, you know, if you want to dispute that, that's fine. But they traded away solid rotation players in Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill in order to get Justice Winslow, knowing that Justice Winslow may not, there was a chance he wasn't going to play for a while, though he was expected to come back before the season was suspended. But my point is that last year, the Grizzlies, but before this season, every move that the Grizzlies were making were focused on the future rather than the present. Well, now the Grizzlies for the second straight year are in the mode of being in the playoff discussion. But I don't think that that means that the Grizzlies are going to make a move this year to really try and establish themselves in that playoff discussion more firmly. I also don't think that the Grizzlies are as focused or are going to be as aggressive in making a clear move for the future as they were at last trade deadline with Justice Winslow. And a few reasons why are because of how the roster is not only performing, but also the fact that, you know, things on and off the court are impacting this roster from showing their true talent level. The Grizzlies said that data accumulation was the big thing when they wanted to focus on this year. They wanted to gain an understanding of the true talent level of this roster before they did anything drastic to continue evolving it for the future. Well, the problem is that now that you have Justice Winslow and you have Jaren Jackson Jr., who now are likely a month, they are going to have the start of their seasons delayed by a month, probably because of all that's gone on in January with the delay in the season and other things, the Grizzlies are going to have, are still going to have the month of February in which they still don't know the true talent level of their team. And it's likely going to be March. You know, Chris Harrington and others have kind of hinted that it may be towards the end of the first half of the season schedule, towards March. And, you know, we're starting to hear things about, you know, a potential All-Star game that is going to happen in Atlanta on March 7th. It wouldn't be a surprise if we didn't see Jaren Jackson Jr. until after that. And it's likely going to be, you know, just before that, that we see Justice Winslow. So if we're still a month or so away from being able to actually see both of those players on the court, I don't think that the Grizzlies are going to do anything based off, okay, when those guys come back, now they're only going to have a few weeks to really see how this roster gels and how they perform, hopefully at full health. They're only going to have a few weeks to see that before the trade deadline. And because of that, I think that it's going to make it harder for the Grizzlies to make any type of significant move at all at the trade deadline, because they won't have enough time to gain a true understanding of what the potential of their roster actually is at full health. And the other reason why I think that in pursuit of the status quo, of getting an understanding of what this roster can do, its true potential at full strength, I think that with how hard these players have played together and how determined they are to make the playoffs, I certainly think that the front office and the coaching staff, I want to stay short of saying owes it to the roster, but I certainly think that this roster has made it clear, and I think that the coaching staff and front office, you know, certainly put value in it. I think that they've made it clear, this roster has made it clear, they just love playing basketball, and that love is enhanced by who these players play with. And for that reason, and with how they continue to just exceed expectations despite things outside of their control not going their way, I think that it truly is in the best interest of this team to do what they can to gain as much understanding of what this roster can do as a whole at full strength this season, instead of doing something that completely, you know, that drastically changes, you know, the look of the roster. I am fully convinced that that really is the best route to go. Now, you know, that could change. You know, if the Grizzlies were to go on a streak, you know, in which they lose, you know, 8 of 10 games, and you know, the way you're starting to see other more talented teams in the West really catch fire, that could change this conversation. But even though I'm someone that truly feels that you need to remain focused on the future, and I can come up with scenarios in which the Jonas Valanciunases, the Tyus Joneses, the Kyle Andersons, the Dylan Brookses, they could be traded in the right scenario, I think that the fact that the Grizzlies now are going to go longer without having their roster at full strength, and the fact that this team is playing so well together and is so determined to make up for last year and make the playoffs, I think that so much more aligns in a positive sense for the Grizzlies front office to really give this roster a chance to gel and really take time to see what they can do when they're playing together at full strength. I think that that truly is the best route to go now, instead of doing something where you trade multiple pieces off for, you know, a future opportunity, or you trade multiple pieces off for future assets. I really do think that in terms of what these players want, what this franchise needs to find out for its future, and what would be best for the young core and the coaching staff going forward, I feel that the focus should definitely remain on the future, but not through making trades for future assets at this time. I think it's through figuring out the status quo, figuring out the true potential of this team, because you lose nothing by doing that. You know what you've got with how many players are already under contract going forward for the Grizzlies. You know what you're going to have, the best thing for you to do is that you know you're going to have this roster in place through the offseason again. It's best for you to know as much about their potential on the court as possible. So due to the delays in the debuts of the season for Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr., and because of how just enjoyable, you know, it seems the Grizzlies have playing each other, I truly think that the best move for the Grizzlies at this year's trade deadline is, unless something just obvious, unless an absolute home run offer that they can't refuse comes their way, I think keeping things as they are, figuring out this team's status quo, and really figuring out where the potential of this team lies is going to be the best opportunity for this Grizzlies team. Obviously, a lot to talk about, a lot of fun. Tomorrow, in tomorrow's episode, we will focus on the upcoming weekend, a huge, huge weekend for the Grizzlies, in which they've already aced the first part of getting back onto their schedule, beating the San Antonio Spurs two games in a row. Now they've got a resurgent Houston Rockets team and a New Orleans Pelicans team that always gives them trouble. Those are two big division games before the Grizzlies get into the meat of their February schedule. We'll have all that and much more in tomorrow's episode, previewing the weekend's game, discussing why it's big, and how the Grizzlies can truly make the most of their opportunity. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast. As always, my name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.